Okay, the boy side. Today's daf is daf Tes Zayin. We're holding the second line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara is quoting from the Braisa that we had down below at the end of yesterday's Amud base. And the Braisa said, "Ashrichet b'mukhni shchitosik sheira." And you remember that we said mukhni is similar to the mukhni that Ben Kotin made in connection with the kiyar, so that the water should not become possibleina. Essentially, what a mukhni is, there may be some etymological connection between the word mukhni and machine, veisachnish, but mukhni essentially means a wheel that goes around and around, similar to a Ferris wheel, and that brings the kiyar down below and lets the water stay down below, and then brings it back up again through probably the use of some sort of pulley system. Right. Anyway, so we just began, and we're talking about the mukhni. The mukhni is a wheel, like a Ferris wheel, that goes and brings things up and brings things down. And in the Braisa we learned yesterday, Amar, Omar, Hashreichet b'mukhni shchitosik sheira. What happens if someone put a knife into such a machine, attached it to a machine, and that knife is going around and around and around, the blade is sticking out from the wheel, and the person conveniently, he allows the wheel to go slowly, and he takes the tzavar habehema so that it should be underneath that blade when it's going around, and guess what? It does a great job, and it checks the halts, it checks the tzavar behema, and everybody said it's perfect. Zokta bright shchitosik sheira, it works. It's not good. Doesn't say do that l'chatchila, because obviously it's not an easy task to go and be able to go and shecht with such a wheel. But if he did it and it worked, it's good. Thinking more about time, we have another price. Is it shchitosim psula? Is the chastira? Is it kosher? Is it not kosher? There's a loy kasha. Habisarna de pachra, habisarna de maya. It depends whether this wheel is that of a pachra. Pachra means a potter who goes and manufactures pottery, or whether this happens to be a wheel that is activated by water. In other words, similar to a water mill, or similar to a potter's mill. That, how does the wheel function? In the case of the pachra, it's koyach odom, the person turns it manually. In the case of sarna demaya, it works on the principle of water, that the water goes and turns the mill around. So what difference does it make? Zok Rashi, because since it says in the pasuk, vizavachta, the gemara dash vizavachta, what you are zeveyach, you can eat. The Lashon HaGemara Rashi says is, mashata zeveyach ata oichel, mash iata zeveyach iata oichel, meaning that shchita has become mikoyach odom. A person had to have done this shchita. So if he did the shchita, it's fine. But if it was done automatically by a wheel, by a machine, nishgit. That's what the Gemara is telling us. That's why our brice of yesterday with the shchitosik sheira means that the potter or the shochet, he's activating the wheel by turning it manually. So it's as if he's taking the knife and he's using it manually. No difference. Mashen came with the sarna de maya. It's the water that's causing the shchita. No good. It could be that both prices are talking about such a water mill. What does it mean? Koyach rishon, koyach sheni. How do you have a water mill? How does the water get in? So Rashi explains that you build your water mill right next to a dam, and when the dam is locked and closed, so then the water mill just stays in place. The wheel doesn't turn. However, if you want the wheel to turn and to act as a water mill for grinding or for producing electricity or whatever you're using this water wheel for, what you do is, says Rashi, you take away the daf, some sort of board that is holding back the water, and as you pull back the board in the dam, guess what? Then the water is going to rush into the wheel and the wheel is going to start spinning. That's what we call koyach rishon. So the Gemara is saying is that even though the principle of this wheel turning is based on water, but somebody has to open up the water first to get the wheel to start moving. That koyach rishon is the koyach of the person that's removing the board and activating this wheel. So if, as it turns for the first time, does a shechita, then it is a kosher shechita. Shechitas k'sheir. K'sheini means if you let this go now for two or three times, now it's already going on its own. Yeah, the person taka put on the switch, so to speak, flipped the switch, or he pushed the button by removing the board in the dam and allowing the water to get in. But now the water goes on its own. You can go home. You can go and learn the daf. You don't have to get involved any longer. That's what he called koyach shiny. Once it's koyach shiny, that's already no longer the koyach of an Adam, and that's why shechita soy psula. And the Gemara says we have an almost identical situation. Chas v'sholom legabi in yonei ritzicha. V'chi hodi omra papa. Hayman de kafse v'chaver. What happens if someone took his chaver? Oh, some chaver. He went and he bound him to the floor of the marshal. V'ashkel alei bidka demaya. And what did he do? He tied him down next to, for instance, the seashore. And the seashore was a time of high tides. And the high tides came Nebuch over this fellow. And he couldn't run because Nebuch, he was tied down. Umis and Rachman Lislan, he got drowned. Chayev, the person who went and bound him and tied him, he's Chayev. My time of Gidadehu. It's just like he went and shot him with arrows. Gidadehu de Hanibay. But that's only koyach rishon. Have a koyach sheni. Koyach sheni, says Rashi, means what happens if you went and tied him not next to svas hayam, but you tied him five blocks away. So therefore, for the water to get to him, it would take time as well as distance. Oh, so that's not a direct hit. That's much more of an indirect grama. So it's more a grama v'alamu, and therefore he's potter bidei adam. But nevertheless, he would be chay bidei shemayim. Ultimately, he did cause this person's death. But it wasn't that direct hit like the Girdi Day of the Koyach Rishon. So therefore you cannot be manishim in Bezin Shalmata, only in Bezin Shalma. So we see the same distinction between the Koyach Rishon and the Koyach Sheni.
You put him out, the tie wasn't directly tied to him at Kaplan, but it was
he's talking about the second case. He happens to be he tied him down five blocks away,
yeah.
And the high tides are high tides, and they keep on moving on. So it's not, you don't get hit directly on the seashore, but the tides keep on traveling the five blocks. Ultimately, it traveled to him, and Nebuch, he wasn't able to flee. And Nebuch, he drowned in the water. So it's the same drowning. However, it's not directly there on Svas Hayam. It's distanced both in time and in place. Therefore, it's no longer considered to be Koyach Rishon. It's Koyach Sheni, and it's a Grama.
Goyer Shalot would make a different problem.
Nochmal?
Goyer Shalot would make a different problem.
There's Vesemish, I'm not so sure about that. There's something called proximate cause. Proximate cause means that he didn't do it directly, he did it indirectly. It's a very famous case that they learn in the law schools. I don't even remember the name of the case was because that's a couple of years ago. But the case was that someone was in a subway station with somebody else, and then he went and hit, he put something in the garbage, and the garbage hit some sort of tall clock that was sitting here, like a grandfather's clock. The grandfather's clock went and bent over, fell over on somebody else, and never killed somebody. So the question is, whether that person who did something with the garbage and then pushed into the clock, and the clock hit him, was he considered to be guilty? It's a long case, and he discussed this at length in the schools, whether it's considered to be negligence, is it considered to be gross negligence, is it considered to be proximate cause? The attack, a person died, but it wasn't his direct hit, it was hit and hit and hit. Oh, as I'm in Koyach Sheni, the same type of concepts also in secular law.
The earlier, whether it's Sarna, the Pachra, or Sarna, the Maya, that moment also had discussion regarding Shin Matzis.
Shin Matzis.
Also, whether it's Kayagad or not. Mm-hmm. Same philosophy, the same.
The question is whether or not you need a gavra to go and bake, or whether it can bake on its own. The lishma, for sure, has to be bidei adam. So that's why those that are makel say, as long as you push the button, you say, Shem Matzis Mitzvah, you're yoytze. But the actual baking itself, that's a maisa koif ba'alma. It doesn't have to be. Toysis says over here, Rashi says over here, the reason why it's got to be bidei adam, says, v'zevachti v'yachalta mashato zeveach ato oichel. But you don't have a similar posik, v'yafisa v'yachalta by matzis, that what you bake, you can eat. It doesn't say anything about. It has to be the shema. That's why some hold, those that are makel hold that you can push the button, and that's already the shema.
Yeah.
Yosef Rav Achoy de Rebchi. Okay, so before we continue on, we're going back to the halacha of yesterday, a person who went and shechted b'mechuba lekarka. For instance, if you had a very sharp reed, or if you had a sharp boulder, a stone, you could theoretically go and take the animal's neck and rub it against that reed or that stone, and that would be a good shechita. And the Gemara said, not so simple. If it was tallish, if you already disconnected the reed from the ground, or the stone from the ground, yeah, that would be good. However, if it's mechober, a big, big shayla. Now, what's the big shayla? If you go back to the Amud Beis of yesterday, right after the Mishnah, skip down six lines, the Amud of Kahana, if the tzur is attached to the ground, or the reed, Krumi Shulkan is attached to the ground. Rabbi points, and Rabbi says, no good. Rabbi Chiya Masha, Rabbi Chiya says that it is kosher. And the Gemara concluded that Rabbi Chiya holds even lechat chila, you're allowed to go and shecht something which is mechubal lekak. Now we have a discussion in the Gemara, when did Rabbi first say his shir in this halacha, and what was Rabbi Chiya's reaction? Is Yosef Rav Achayrid Rabbi Chiya, for Rabbi Chiya kami de Rabbi. In other words, Rabbi was the Rav, he was the Magid Shir. Reb Chiya was sitting in the first row, listening carefully to what Rebbe had to say, and Rav was sitting in the second row behind Reb Chiya. Okay, so you have Rebbe at front, then Reb Chiya in the first row, Rav in the second row, and guess what happens? The Ka'amah Yosef Rebbe, the Ka'amah, and Rebbe is giving the Shir, and he said the following: Minayim l'shchita shi betolish. How do I know that shchita has to be betolish? That's Rebbe's shita on the Amud Beis, that if it was the mechuber, it's possible. How do you know it has to be betolish? It says in the pasuk by Avram Avinu, "Vayikach es amacheles lishchedes benoy," that Avram Avinu took with him a knife to go and do the shchita. Why do you have to go take a knife for? Since he's going alacha to harim asher oimer alacha, presumably in the top of that mountain, he'll be able to go and find reeds and find stones which are sharp, and he can do the shchita with them. The fact that he took the machela shows you because it got to be even tallish. That was Rebbe's drasha. Now, apparently he said it quietly, because Rav, who was in back of the room, so to speak, Amli Rav, the Rebbe Chiya, Rav whispered to Rebbe Chiya, "My come, listen to Rebbe Gizuk, I didn't hear what Rebbe said. What was the makar taka to the din of tallish?" Amalei, so Rebbe Chiya said, in somewhat of a negative fashion, "Vav dechsev al ufsa ka'amar." He told us a drasha which is like a vav written on a piece of wood that you just went and you chopped from the tree. We're not talking about a nice plank of wood, a piece of wood from the tree. And when you take off the piece of wood from the tree, you'll notice it has all of those rings around it, which Rashi calls ridges or edges. And now if you were to go and write a vav, you cannot easily write that vav, because it's not like a flat piece of paper or a flat piece of wood. In fact, you would come across a whole bunch of ridges as you keep on writing the vav. And if you look carefully at the vav, it's not one vav, it's like a 25 different vavas. Yeah. Little piece, a little piece, a little piece. Yeah, they all look like they're contiguous, one next to each other.
What is he intimating from here?
What he's intimating is that the drush is a shvacha drusha. It's like a zavav written on a drusha. If you look, Rashi, 6-7 lines before the first wide lines. Rashi, about 6-7 lines over here. Oh, malei vav di uksim v'uksa kama. Kaloi matam shein anochim kama. He's saying things which are sinished. Kimoi shekoise vav ala bikas. Just like when you write vav on a bikas, it means a piece of wood that you just chopped from a tree. The kula minutachas leprokim. That entire vav is broken down into many different pieces. And they shinei habikas, because of the teeth of the bikas of this piece of wood. Shein asuyim charitzim charitzim, because it's made into such rings and such ridges. Mein achalok, it's not smooth. So that's pshat, zokrashi, in this vav written on the ufsa, that they come to drasha that Rebbe just said, now, I'm shvacha drasha. This is Rebbe Chiya v'shitas, that Rebbe Chiya held that you're allowed to go and shecht even l'chatchila bima chuber. Therefore, he's saying, I just don't agree with what Rebbe has to say. What does he do with the pasuk? Why did Rav Mavir take along a ma'acheles? Why didn't he just rely on a tzur or on a reed? So, Tzimara, He's saying that the pasuk is trying to tell us not epsa halacha that you have to do tolish. It wants to go and show the Yerushimayim of Avram Avinu that Avram Avinu got a command from Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu to do a shechita, and he says to himself, "What happens if I get there and there are no sharp reeds or sharp stones that I can use for the shechita? Let me be on the safe side. I'm going to go and take along a machalus." See the Rashi, the first white line, Kras Yerusha de Avram Kamashmon Shechosh. The Nizar, he was careful and meticulous. Maybe you won't find one of them in Mechubah. And therefore, maybe my Machalas. So the Pasuk is not telling us halachas, it's telling us really the Zrizus, the Hirus, the meticulous nature, Yerushimayim of Avraham Avinu. Okay. So we have a Machloikis, the God, the Tolush, everybody agrees, works. Mechubah, a Machloikis, whether that works or doesn't work. Now we're going to get into the Inyan of Tolush, Flipsoif Chibrai. We started off with something which was tolush, and now we machabed to the ground. Does it have the status of a tolush? Does it have the status of a mechuber? And first, Rava tells us that we find this halach in two other aspects of Torah. Number one, legabi hilchas of Avodah Zarah. Number two, legabi hechsher kelim. And then at the bottom of the Amud, top of the Amud base, Rav is going to come back to Shechit. It's Amud Rav. Pshitali by me is a double poshet. The Tolush, if you started off with something which was not connected to the ground, and then you connected it, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, have a Tolush, it remains as if it's Tolush. What do you mean? Asarai. What happens if a person were to go and bow down to his own house? In other words, a contractor just built a beautiful house. It looks really gorgeous and wonderful. And this person is so in love with his house, he makes it into a god by bowing down to it. And he says, "Ah, those are our gods." I'm sorry? Okay. Anyway, what happened? Asarai. This house now becomes Osirbano. It's Ashtika Voidazara. If you're going to go and tell me that Tolush, Flipsayf Chibroi, has a din of Mechubar, then it would not become Asr. Why? Because we have a Mefeirish Apostik. Elehayim Alaharim, Velayaharim Elehayim. Very famous drasha that you have a number of times, especially in Masechta Savoidah Zarah, you have it all the time. What does it say in the Apostik? Abe to Abdin is called Mekoimis, Shaab to Shema Goyim. Go and destroy all of those Mekoimis that Goyim did Avoidah Zarah. What should you go and destroy? Es Elehayim. Alehorim haramim, the gods which are standing, which are attached, which are on top of the haramim, these tall mountains. In other words, when you go up to the top of the mountain and you see over there a statue, or you see over there a psabama which was used for worshipping, abe to abdin, go and destroy all of those things. But you can only destroy the alehayim alaharim. What happens if you heard that there were goyim that went and worshipped the mountain itself, as opposed to a statue on top of the mountain? No, it's the shinished. There's no din of going destroying the mountains, because the mechuber cannot become osir als isuri hanur of Avodah Zarah. Ah, so now I have a case where it says befeidish in the pasuk alehem alaharim, only tolush has a din of liyidbak biyarcha meuma menachirim, where it's isuri hanur als Avodah Zarah, but not mechuber. Yet it says, Mishtach for the Bayish Alay, this bias boy, if you're going to try to go and push it, you see sometimes people in the morning when you go to davening, people are pushing with all their might against the building. The building's not going to move, no matter how much they push. It's Nishkai, because it's Mechubah. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, they're really doing exercise. But be that as it may, the point is that these are deep foundations. It's a 12-story building, stark,
not moving anywhere.
And nevertheless, if the person mishtachve, it's awesome. It's the chasimin that anything which was tolish for the psoit chibroi has a din of tolish, and that's why it becomes awesome. But no, I'll tell you. Sorry. Now, in Hechshir Zroim Legabe, whether something is Mukhshir Lekabel Tumma, that's a Machloikis Tanoihi. What's a Machloikis Tanoihi? We all know that there's a din that for food items to become Mukhshir Lekabel Tumma, it has to get in contact with one of seven Mashkois. Our Gemara focuses particularly on, right, exactly.
No, but it's easy. Let's go.
And we're talking about here simple water, rain water. Now, we're not talking about rainwater that falls on top of foods directly. We're talking about that it falls on either a kara on a plate or on a wall, and subsequent to that, foods got in contact with the water in that kara or that wall. The question is, does it become muksha lekabuto? Now, besides the requirement that you have to have one of the seven mashkois, is another requirement that has to be nichale. Nichale means he has to be happy about it. If one gets what he says, oi, I wanted to have dried fruits, the water is now going to spoil them, they're moist, they're not going to dry out properly, then they're not muksha lekabuto. Finally, there's another halach, and this din of water touching is only when it's already tolish, not when it's mechuber. Why? Because if you're going to tell me that the din of hechsher applies even to mechuber, then every single food item will always be mechsher lekabel tuma, because every food item grew from the ground, from a tree, from the ground, and you wanted the water to go and make the ground moist so that the product should grow, the produce should grow. If you're going to go and plant seeds in the ground, you plant them in the Sahara Desert, and there's not going to be any rainwater for the next 6 months, nothing's going to grow. So you want the water to go onto the seeds, and when it starts growing, you want it to make it even more plentiful. And that's why we say, give us talamata, we want that everything should go, should grow. So therefore, the whole din of Hechsher's Roim, Nichale, Loi Nichale, is talking about when it's already tolish, when it's already harvested. So with those short hakdamas, let's get into the Gemara. Now we learned in the Mishnah. Akoif akara ala koisul bishvil shetudach. It's raining outside. The person has a dirty kara, a dirty plate. So instead of going and washing it in his sink, he leaves it outside on top of the koisul, on top of the wall, bishvil shetudach, so that the water should go and clean it and rinse it. Okay, the water taka rinsed it, and now the person takes the plate off of the kaisel. He puts some fruits and vegetables inside that kara. How is it mechiyutan? All of the fruits now have a din of mukshala kabotum. And Rashi says, even if he didn't have any particular kavana regarding the peirois or the irokas, that they should be nichalei, as long as the initial water that came into that kara was nichalei, so it's deemed nichalei water even subsequently when the peirois touch it and they become now mukshala kabotum. However, if the reason why he put a kara on top of the koisel was not that it should get rinsed off, but b'shul shalo yilka koisel, it was a protective measure. Instead of going and putting on it a plastic cover or something similar, rather he put kalim on top of the koisel to protect the koisel from the rain, because he doesn't want the water. Forget, that's the reason why he put the kalim over there, to protect the koisel against the water. Good. So then, since this water is undesirable, if afterwards it gets in contact together with peirois, the peirois are not mukshal kabotum. Okay, on the surface, the Mishnah is very straightforward. But now the Gemara is going to ask a stira from the Reisha to the Seifa based on a diuk. What's the diuk? Hagufagash. Amris, he set it off by saying that if you put the kara de bishvil shetudach, how is it b'chiyutan? Let me ask you a question. Why do we have to talk about a kara? Why don't we talk about the wall itself? The reason why I'm so happy with the rain is not because I want to rinse off this kara. I want to rinse off the wall. The wall has on it graffiti, or it has a lot of dust, and a lot of junk which is accumulated. I'm so happy the rainfall is going to go and clean off the wall. It's okay. How is it b'chiyutan? Why don't we talk about a case where, without the kara, that he's happy nichalei because the water is cleaning off the wall? Why don't we talk about that? Zaitzichos, because since the koisel is attached to the ground, the koisel therefore is a tolush v'besoif chibroi, and has the status of mechuber, and therefore ain't zebachiyutan. Anything which is mechuber, there's no din of kiyutan, of being mashal kabotum. Let's go and see the seifa of the same Mishnah. It says, if you put the kara on, bishvil shelo yilka koisel, so the koisel should be protected. It shouldn't hit the water. Ein b'chiyutan. Break tomorrow. Ha bishvil shiyudach koisel. What happens, however, if in fact he did want the koisel to be washed? He didn't put the kara there to go and protect it. He put a kara there to feed water to the koisel. He wanted the water taker to get the koisel and to rinse it off. Then mashmahar is in b'chiyutan. Then there would be a din of nichalei, and it would be machshir the kabotum. So based on the diuk from the reisha, I'm saying that it's not b'chiyutan. It's only when he put the kara on to get washed and rinsed. Then it becomes machshir the kabotum, but not the wall. Why? Because the wall is in mechuber. But in the seifa I say that when do I say it's ain't a mechiyutan daf if you put a kli there? But the koisel itself would be mechiyutan, even though it's mechuber. Is the chasim and tolish v'seif chibrei has a din of tolish? So make up your mind. Is it considered to be tolish? Is it considered to be mechuber? Amr Beluzer, Tavra Mimuzhagin Mishishanazullah Shanazul. Then in fact the two parts of the Mishnah argue with one another, and they're two separate Mandiyamrim. One Mandiyam holds that Tolish Vasib Chibray has a din of Mechubar, and therefore Aina Bakhiyutan, there's no din of being Makabal to be Mimuksha Makabal Tuma. And the other Mandiyam holds now has a din of Tolish. As a din of Tolish, it could be become Bakhiyutan, it could be become Muksha Makabal Tuma. So that's what Rava was saying, that when it comes to Hakshis Roim, then it's a Samachloikis between the Reish and the Sefer of that Mishnah. Rapapa says, Rava, I disagree. Rapapa Omar Kulchatanu, Skonzain, the entire Mishnah is all one Tana. Your diuk is good, but it's all one Tana. How? Because Haba Koisel Mara, Haba Koisel Binyan. The word Koisel means a wall. The wall, typically we think of walls that are built on the ground, like they do on the border with Mexico. You have to invest $50 to $100 billion to go and build this mammoth wall, but the wall didn't just grow up out of the ground.
$5 billion?
$5 billion? Okay, I'm sorry. I guess he can do it cheaper. Anyway, he can go and build a wall, but the wall was tolush v'losayf chibre. Until now it was bricks, or it was stones, or it was mortar. It was all metalklin, tolush, and we put it all together and we made a wall out of it. Now it's mechub. That's one type of wall. But there's a wall which is called Koisal Mara. Koisal Mara means it was a natural wall of a cave. And what the person did was he carved out and hollowed out the cave and took out all the things inside. And now I have walls. Ah, so that was a wall that was meikare mechub, not a wall that you built on the ground. It was mechub meikare. Ah, so that's the difference. Shok the Gemara. It's ukul chatanu ha b'koisel mara b'koisel binyan. V'ochi koma. And we start the Mishnah again. Hakoif a kara ala koisel. A person went and put a kara on top of the koisel b'shul shetudach so that the kara should get washed and rinsed. Harizim b'chiyutan. Then it has a din that it will be m'mukhshah l'kabal tumah. Not only it, but also the payers that are afterwards inside the kli become m'mukhshah l'kabal tumah. Ha b'shul shetudach hakoisel. However, if you want that the koisel should get washed off, ein zim b'chiyutan. It will not be m'mukhshah l'kabal tumah. You know why? Because we're talking about a natural wall, not a wall with matzigeboit that was built. It was natural. Ah, since it's a natural wall, it's mechuber. Ain't the bechiyutan because there's no din of mukhsh lekabel tuma be mechuber. Aber bekoisel binyan. Ah, bekoisel binyan, which means togish for the psayf chibro. Beshvil shalay yilka koiselhu the ainem bechiyutan. If the reason why you put your kli there is because you didn't want the koisel to get wet, then Einachrami, he didn't want the water. It's not Nicholai, it's not
Machshir.
However, if you wanted the water to go and hit the Koisel, and this Koisel is talking about a Koisel binyan, it was Tolish Yosef Chirai, Harizeh Bechiyutan, then everybody would agree that it is Bechiyutan because Tolish Yosef Chirai, in fact, is considered to be Tolish. So when Rav said above, Pshitali, by the case of Hechshes Roim, that it's a machlaikis, it's only according to Rebbe Lozer's pshat, the Tavra Mishishanazul, Vishanazul, then it's a machlaikis. Rapapa said, no, you have no right. Skonzai, we're talking about a Koisel Binyan, a Koisel Mara, and in fact, we have no right. Anyway, so now, yes?
It's been about 4 hours on this.
We're talking about just the, because water falls on the plate, and then just ready to
the plate, and the plate itself now is wet.
It's wet, and it's
and 5 minutes later, he goes and puts some oranges, or he puts some bread, or something else on the plate, and it touches that water.
Yeah.
Even though Bishas Masa, when the water is coming now on the oranges or on the bread or on the grapes or whatever, he's not particularly interested in that water going on it. It was nice and clean. I didn't need any water, and it's only going to be a headache for me to go and wipe it off. Since the original water that went on the plate was Nichale, that is deemed to be forever and ever Nichale water. And now when Peters go on it, they are going to become Mukhsha
Lekabotum. And they also no Nichale water on the
payroll? Even if it's not Nichale, even if now he's saying, oh, I didn't want the payers to get wet, but since the waters initially when they went on the kli were Nichale waters, they remain Nichale waters, and then when they touch the payers subsequently, the payers become Mukhsha Lekabotum. You don't need the kli to become Mukhsha Lekabotum because the kli is naturally, if it's a kli matches, it's, or even a kli eitz, if it has a yesh like toich. The only din of Mukhsha is, the Pasuk says, Achas kol oicha she yachel, ashe yutan maim, olav yitma. There's a special din legabi oichlam. There's no din by kalim that has mushal kabbalah.
So, but it's sort of it's a one step further now. So if the water is deflected onto a humanly constructed building, then it's not.
Now it depends. We have a tolish, say chibrei, a din of tolish, a din of mechuber.
Right.
If you hold it as a din of mechuber, then in fact that water will not be machshel lekumbel tumah, even though he loved the water. Oh, shkoyach, it's washing it down so beautifully. But since it's mechuber,
if you hold it, ultimate, it's based now on what the ultimate. It's nothing to do with the plate. It's where the ultimate destination is. So it's really one step further.
It's true. The whole din here of this whole mission, the whole discussion of the Gemara, is referring to the fruits and the vegetables and the tvua and the produce, as opposed to the initial wall or the additional
water itself. If we're deflected on a mara, then it's
koisel mara. Even if he happens to be delighted, it's mechuber.
It's good. So, but it's we're talking about the water now. Where it depends on something else. It depends on what you're reflecting it for. It seems like a little bit far fetched, doesn't it? Reflecting the water onto a mara, so that's some sort of mechuber. So it's not the yutan. If it's on a kosel opinion,
right?
Then it is considered the yutan because it's not mechuber. So we're basing what the water is based on some other extraneous factors.
This is absolutely true. But that's always the case by Hefshel Kabbal Tumah, that there's a distinction between Tolish and Mechubar. That when the waters fall down, let's say it's already past harvest season. You're supposed to harvest your tefuah in April. It's now May or June. And he didn't get a chance to harvest. And now the water is coming down. It's pouring, it's raining. None of that tefuah becomes Mechshel Kabbal Tumah because it's still Mechubar. If he had it, cut it and flying on the ground, then it depends on nichale loy nichale.
Right.
So there's a difference between mechuber and tolish.
Yeah,
all Rav is now is applying this to gabi koisel, since it was originally tolish. Ach kachibroy, the difference in the tolish for mechuber.
One step further. Like when you have, I don't want to belabor it, but when you have the peros,
he has to know whether the peros become tummy or not.
They are tummy.
They are tummy. Only if nichale.
You understand my query?
Yes, they're tummy.
When you're talking directly on the food, you want to cut or you don't want to cut. Then I can understand. But here we're talking not about.
It's intermediate.
Get me back to Shechita. I want to get back to Shechita.
Okay,
I want to get back to Shechita.
Interesting.
It's fascinating. If you want, we can discuss it further after the Shir. Boy, Rabbis, since we have already tried to clarify the Hilchos Tolish Mitzvah Chibrei Legabi Avoy Dezora and Legabi Hilchos Hechshes, right? Now we come back to Shechita. After all, to the Sechtes Chulin. Boy, Rabbis, what is in Hat Tolish Mitzvah Chibrei the Inyo Shechita might? What happens if I took a knife, for instance, or for that matter, a tzur or a kana, anything which is sharp that can do a proper shechita? It was really tolish, and now I was mechaber it to the ground, and I use that for shechita. Is that good or not? And now the Gemara is quoting from the Braisa, which we learned at the end of the Amud Beis of yesterday, the very tail end. What does it say in the Braisa? Toshima, Oyitzur Yoitzim and Akois. Oysha Yekona Oilame Elab, Vishochet Boy, Shchita Soi Psula. Now the Gemara is assuming, since we're trying to be Poshit, the Shala of Rava, that this Tzur Yoitzim and Akois, what type of Koisel are we talking about? A Koisel that he built. Not a koisel mara, but a koisel binyan. Koisel binyan, by definition, that's a tolush lipsayf chibra. So now I have a tzur, which is extending from that binyan, and that tzur happens to be razor sharp. Or show you kind of economy aleph, or you have a reed which is growing from the ground. With it, shechitas epsula. So lechoyra, aren't we talking about a case of tolush lipsayf chibra? We say that it's possible. You know why it's possible? Because it's considered to be mechuber, and it's like Rebbe that says that mechuber is possible because of the pasuk vayikach es amachelis. It's got to be tolush. So lechoyra, we can be poishet our shaila. The tolush lipsayf chibra has a din of mechuber. Every machal ma'iskin, we're talking about a koisel mara. We're not talking about a koisel of a binyan, a koisel mamara. It was a natural koisel. Oh, a natural koisel was not a tolish lipsayf chibroi. It was mechuber me'ikara. Now, you can tell me, come on, think about koisel. No, normally koisel means a Mexican wall, a Chinese wall, a wall that you built. No. Deikonami, it's taka meduyik, that's the real pshat. Diktoni, because right after that it says, tzur yoitzim en hakoisel, oisho ye kona oyle me'elam. What means kona oyle me'elam? The kona, the reed, is still growing from the ground. Ah, it's growing from the ground, that means it was always mechubra, and it's still mechubra. It was never tolish v'psoif chibra. So, stomach, because they brought together these two cases, one next to each other, shnam, you know, that the case of the tzur yoitzim en hakoisel is also talking about a natural wall, not a built wall, just like the kona oyle me'elam is a natural reed, not a tzigikim, and not a built reed that you afterwards attach to the ground. Toshima, let's try to bring another eye from the same price. It says in the price, not sacking the koisel. Oh, now the sack certainly didn't grow from the ground. That's certainly. Anybody went at the beginning of planting season, he put in a half a dozen knives into the ground. 6 months later, you'll see that there will not be a knife tree. There are not going to be any knives growing out. Ah, so therefore, this is certainly a tolish. V'shachar bani shechtu with it. Ah, shechitas and sheir. That's very good. So we see it. Tolish was a chibray has a din of tolish and not of mechubar. So the one nishkarai. Shani sakhtu limavatalei. My shailas as Rava was in a case of tolish was a chibray with the intention of leaving it mechubar permanently, such as building a koisel. When I build a koisel, I'm not just building a koisel for one term. The next president is going to go and take it down. We intend putting up that wall for 20 years, for 50 years, for 100 years. That's what I put the knots, sack in the koisel. I didn't want to leave the sack in there permanently inside the koisel. I put it there for temporary safekeeping, for temporary place to put it. Just like we had in Eilim Metzias, that people didn't have drawers and shelves and all that. They used to go and put their things into the wall. Then it's a question of if a person finds an object in there 50 years later. Ad heichem yadim egas. Do you say that it's the housekeeper, the person who owns the home, he's the one that put it there, or someone from the Shisram put it in there? Anyway, so it was fairly typical for people to go and put items into the wall. And here was Noat. Here he went and put it into a specific hole so that he was Noat. He kind of stabbed it into the wall. Noat Sakim Mekoisel. But he didn't mean to leave it there. So even though it was now Mechubar, it was only Mechubar temporarily. Of course that's Tolish. That's not a case of Tolish of Chibray, that he's going to put it there permanently. That's temporary. Everybody would agree that has a din of Tolish. That's not my shayla.
He just found in Israel gold coins that were stuck in a wall.
Uh-huh.
And it was very valuable on them, but it was just as that situation, I believe.
Can they go and trace the original owner?
No, it's going to
be difficult.
They make an announcement on the stone in Yerushalayim.
The Eben HaTayin.
Everything makes the score.
Okay, we'll see. It'll be people stepping forward, nothing to worry about. Anyway, Tashima, Zakti Mora, Bimchuba Lakarka Shkitasik Shaira. Now, to understand this raya, you have to see the raya in context. This Mechub Lakarka, we have to go back for a short second to Test Vavam Medveis at the bottom of the Amud, where you'll notice the price of five lines from the bottom, which we started off today. Hashoichet Muchni, we spoke about the Muchni, the machine,
the wheel.
Yeah, turns around, Shkitasik Shaira. Okay, next case. The Mechub Lakarka, if somebody's Mechub Lakarka, Shkitasik Shaira. It doesn't say exactly what type of Chib Lakarka. But now let's talk about the next case. Not sakin because of a shachar b'shkitasik sheir. So the Gemara is assuming that this mechubal karka is similar to the case of the sakin b'koisel. In other words, it wasn't mechubal karka mei karoi. It was a case of tolush flipsoif chibroi, and it says of a shkitasik sheir. Especially if this price is going according to Rabbi, that must be the case because Rabbi holds mechubal karka is possible. It says Ishchitosik Sheira, L'choyra, the only Chibur L'karka that would be kosher, L'choyra would be a Tolush L'psoif Chibray. So I can go and bring a Raya from this case. The Tolush L'psoif Chibray has a din of Tolush, and that's why the Shchita is kosher. So if you want to talk about Mechub L'karka, Ishchitosik Sheira, is eight mendach for name, that Tolush L'psoif Chibray, it's considered to be Tolush, and it's kosher. When it said in the price, that was like the caption, the headline, explaining the next case. The what? Or the introduction to the next case. What's the case right after that? When do I say in a case similar to a sakin shenoat bekoisel? However, if you're talking about a permanent wall that you built there as a barrier or for whatever reason, permanent walls and under masa, that I don't know from the brayson. Therefore, Rava is giblim with an iboye deloy ifshita. In the case of the avodah zarah, he was poishit that it has the status of tolush. In the case of the hashes roim, he established that it's a machoikis. And the gabi shchita iboye deloy ifshita, I don't know what the din is. Tolush will b'soif chibur. No shtickle.
It's not a spar, it's just the gzeres akasiv that pasuk says.
Mechubar and tolush?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Omamat, no etzaki mekoisel, v'shochet ba shchitosik sheira. That's the case we just spoke about. Omrav omran, v'shmua lo yishona lo shesaka lamala, v'tzabar behema lamata. Avasaka lamata, v'tzabar behema lamala, chashirin shem yidrais. What the Gemara is saying is a very, very poshita balabatish ezach, that you're talking about a sakin, which is sticking out of the wall, meaning the blade is sticking out of the wall. Now, is the blade upwards or is the blade downwards. If it's downwards, it's very easy to go and take a behema. You go and take the behema upside down with its throat open, and instead of taking the sack and moving it back and forth and slicing, it will be back and forth.
A chicken would be easier. I think
that's going to be the next chicken tomorrow. We're not up to the chicken yet. We're talking about the behema.
Sorry, the sack has to be the movable part.
Exactly. Not doing
the
sack. Now, what happens the other way around? If the blade is going up, and you go and take the tzavar of the hema and you go back and forth. You can go, in fact, many shlachtaizer today, some have the meaning to go and do the shechita where the sakin is above and the behema is down below, or it could be the other way around. The behema is standing and you pick up the throat and then they go and cut it from down below. He goes and cuts upwards instead of cutting downwards. Almost like a baseball game, right? You can go and throw underhand, you can throw overhanded. So you can go and check underhanded, you can show overhanded. Okay, anyway.
The pizza people were not happy with one of them.
Well, the pizza people are never happy. So now the question is, if a person is holding the sakin, he knows as the chashoich, he's a mumcha, right? The people that are in shechita muchzik are mumcha, they know what they're doing. However, when you're talking about a behema, that's much more difficult. Because if the sakin, the blade is lamala, and the tzavar behema is on top of it, and you're taking the behema back and forth, you know what's going to happen? The weight of the throat of the animal might go and collapse on the knife as you're slicing it back and forth, and then you're going to have a problem of hadrasa or drisa, where instead of it being the koyach of the slicing, it's going to be koyach of the pressure. And therefore, says Gemara, no good. Amr Ivan Amishwa, Loishan, when did we say that not sakin the koyach works? Shasakin the mala, the sakin the blade is higher, tzavar behema lamata, and the tzavar is underneath, and you shake it back and forth, you pull it back and forth, it's good. Avasakin lamata, but the blade is underneath. With tzavar behema lamata, and the tzavar is on top, chayshin shem yidris, and we're already about to send, that's one of the five psulim, therefore no good. Okay, makes sense. But the problem is voktani. Yesterday we had a brisa which said differently. What does it say in the brisa? Now, again, the Gemara leaves out the first part of the brisa, and it's important to learn the first part of the brisa because that'll give us an introduction to the tariff. If you go back again to the Gemara of yesterday, you have on Tes Vav on the base, roughly 10 lines after the Mishnah ends, it says in the middle of the line, Elohad Asanya, 10 lines, 12 lines after the Mishnah, Elohad Asanya, Bakol Shachtim. You can go and check both with it's Tolish or Mechuber. Notice in this Braisa, the Gemara doesn't distinguish. The Braisa doesn't distinguish between whether the Sak is Lamala or Lamata, Behemoth Lamala or Lamata. It says that it's all good. And that's the Gemara's Kasha. You just said now, Rav Onan on my Shmuel, that if the Tzavar Behema is Lamala, it's no good. But that price it says, it's kosher. Amra Zid with Stud and Katani. When you learn that Braisa, you have to go and learn it respectively. What means respectively? Sakalamata v'tav behem lamala betolush. Sakalamata v'tav behem lamata b'mechuber. Remember, how did that Braisa begin? Hakol shochtin bein betolush bein b'mechuber. Bein shesakalamala v'tav behem lamata bein shesakalamata. Ah, so the Gemara is saying is when it says in that Braisa bein shesakalamala v'tav behem lamata, it's talking about respectively on the tolush and on the mechuber. What means respectively on the tolush and the mechuber? Jacques de Gemara. Let's start with Ketani. Sakin lamata. If the sakin is from below, in other words, the blade is below. The tzav behema lamala. The tzav behema is lamala. So you're concerned about that maybe shema yidrois is going to fall in. That's talking about betolish. That's talking about the shoychet is holding on to the meser to the sakin, the chalif, and he's shechtik. So even though the tzav behema is lamala, he has put in place whatever precautions and safeguards so that the tzav should not collapse on top of his meser. So it's good. However, sakin lamala, tzav behema lamata. If the sack and the blade is up on top, then it's even the mechuba that works. Like Rav Onan and Mishmuel says, like the Braisa says. So now this is not a difficult pshat. This is Pasha pshat in the Braisa. That's why it says, Bein betolush, bein b'mechuba. And then the Braisa is explaining. If it's tolush, then any case, tolush always works up or down, makes no difference. Just like a regular shoychet. If it's mechuba, then it only works in the case where the sakin happens to be lamala and the tzav behema lamata, because then you don't have to worry about the Shema Yidroi's issue. So that was teretz number one on the kasha. Rabbi Papa says, I have a better teretz. But oifa de kola. This is what Barry was saying a couple of minutes ago, that there's a difference between a chicken or a fowl, or when you talk about a behema. Behema, I have to worry about the taka, the weight of the animal, the tzav is going to go and weigh down. It's going to be a question of Shema Yidrais. When you're talking about a chicken, you're talking about a bird, it's a kleine kite, it's so light, I'm not worried about any drisa. So then you could have the tzavar lamala. The pshat is very, very nice. It's only one slight problem, and that is that yesterday's price, like the Gemara is saying now, is tzavar behema lamala, tzavar behema lamata. L'chor should say, v'tzavar ho'oif lamala or lamata. Rashi already remarks on this. Rashi says, that's that it said behema, lav tafka nishkeferlich. Even though tzavar the Gemara yesterday it said behema lamata, it means tzavar oif, it means what you are shechting. Good. No shtickle, very simple shtickle. Omar of Chiz, Omar of Yitzchak, V'amri lo b'masisa tana. Hey, dvarim nemru b'krumi yishol kana. Even though we said a krumi yishol kana is effective as a chalif to go and shecht. Now, for those of you that are wondering, how could a reed do such an effective job? If any of you have ever gotten a paper cut in your life, you know how painful that can be, and you know how sharp that can be. Papers are going to shear, you're crumbling up, but you see? So reed can also be so sharp at the edge. Be careful. Okay. Says the Gemara, even though theoretically you can use it, but don't go and use it for shechita. Vein malinba, don't use it for bismila. Vein mechatzim abasa, don't use it as a knife to go and cut flesh. Vein mechatzim b'shinaim, don't use it as a toothpick. Vein mekanchim ba, and also don't use it after going to the beis hakisei. The reason for all of these five,
understand.
The reason for all five zog Rashi is because since reeds are by definition fragile and delicate, you may have kismin nitazin. You may have splinters coming out of the reed. And therefore, for instance, by the shechita, says Rashi, if a splinter is going to come out, it might make a hole in the corner, and a hole in the corner is b'mashu. It's going to be treifa before you even have a chance to finish your shechita. The same thing with Gabi, all the other things. For instance, if you are cutting meat with it, you might by accident leave a splinter behind. The person's going to eat from the meat, and the splinter will get into his throat. Chas v'sholom, there could be major, major issues. Same thing by Bris Mila, Rashi says, Chas v'sholom, the kid could become a krushavcha if the splinter goes in the wrong direction. Toignish, etc. All very straightforward. Freiti Yomara, you just said, now, ain't shaykh, but don't use it for shechita. For time, we learned that a braisa. Bakal shaykh, bein b'tzor, bein b'schuchas, bein b'krum yishol kana. It sounds like you can do a krum yishol kana l'chadchel. It doesn't say anything, but be careful about the kismen, about the splinters. Omer apof of the simuna de agma. Besides simuna de agma, Rashi says simuna de agma is a special type of reed that was very, very strong, and no kismen of don himenu. It was constructed by Kodesh Baruch in such a way that in fact it didn't splinter. Oh, it didn't splinter, and you don't have that problem. We're talking about normal reeds, and not talking about the simuna de agma that has no reed, that has no splinters. Don't cut meat with it. He would go and use it to cut the innards of the dagim, to take it out, to grease the caviar from the fish, that type of thing. Why did he do that? The zigi. Zigi means that it's transparent. Since it's so transparent, if there's a splinter, you'll see it immediately. You don't have to worry about it. By meat, it's so thick, you can't see it. But in this kibbe dog, in Ziggy, it's transparent, you can see. Rabba Baravuna Machatat Bo Oifa Dirakech. He used to go and use it for going and cutting oifis, because the flesh of the oif is so soft that you don't have to exert any pressure. Since you're not exerting any pressure, you don't have to worry about splinters coming out from the reeds. It all stay intact. It's only if you want to go and cut something which is hard, oh, then I'm afraid that it might become delicate and break off, and a shtickle, a splinter will come off. You cannot use it for kinuach, for after basic kisei. So tomorrow, typically, why are you telling me the reason is because it's a sakana, because of the fact that it'll have these splinters. Take from the Yamamah. Mara says, I'm a kaneach, but don't show or show letters, boy. Shinim the noishes. A person should not go and clean himself after basic kisei with any type of thing which is flammable. Show or show letters, boy. Because shinim the noishes, I can go and cause problems for the bottom of the rectum, twice maybe hemorrhoids, whatever it happens to be. So anyway, so this is a general rule having nothing to do with the fact that it has these kismen. Anything which or show letters, boy.
There's a problem then with what?
You have toilet paper. So in fact, the Ramah in Simon Gimel of Orachaim brings this Gemara and he says, "Then onum this harum is there. We're not noig. We're not nizar on this halach." Abazoi state in the Gemara. So in the time of the Gemara, apparently the word nizar on it. So if they were nizar, so we have a problem. How can you go? Why do you go and say krumi shel kana? Because we're worried about the splinters. Forget about the splinters. Or shalat. Right? Amar apapa inachlam. We're not talking about that type of kinuach. We're talking about kinuach pimake. Come in. Chas v'shalom. Somebody goes and gets some sort of wound. It's an open wound. He wants to clean it out, and instead of having your normal whatever to clean it. He only has these reeds. Don't use the reeds, because Chas v'Shalom, a splinter can get into the wound and it's going to infect it. It's tansuris, tariris, etc.
Tansuris, really.
And now we get back into our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Hakol shochten, uli oilim shochten, ubakol shochten. And remember, Rashi said in the Mishnah, Mefarish lekamon, what do these words mean? What's the hakol shochten? What's the oilim shochten? So if you want hakol shochten, hakol b'shchita v'afilo oif. What the Mishnah is coming to tell you is, the din of shchita doesn't only apply to behemoth, it also applies to oifis, says Rashi, because there is no befeirish apostic in the Torah that applies shchita to oifis. It only talks about Shchita by behemoth, the zavachta v'yachalta. That's talking about ben abokar. It's talking about behemoth. Doesn't say by oifis anything. The oifis we find malika. We don't find shchita. So therefore, comes to tell you, you want to eat a piece of oif, you got to go and check. Same thing is, the mushal got to be fish. There's no din of shchita by fish. So I might have thought oif maybe also doesn't need shchita. Kamash olan, oif needs shchita. That's the hakol shochten. What means the oilam shochten? Now the Gemara is going to say two pshatim, one pshat Rabbi Shmuel, and one pshat Rabbi Akiva. What's pshat of Rabbi Shmuel? Mantana Omer Rabba Rabbi Shmuel. Sani ki yach b'shem lekeches kvulcha kashadibalach v'mar toich lebasik kisav enafshech lechol basar. This basik is talking about when yin leave the midbar, they're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, and at that time they want to go and eat basar, and it's what the Gemara calls basar taiva. Why does the Gemara call it basar taiva? Because it says in the pasuk, "Kisa'av nafshecha lechol basar, b'chol avas nafshecha toichol basar." The person has that taiva to go and eat basar. Okay, so what's the problem with that taiva to eat basar? So as Rabbi Shmuel explains, Rabbi Shmuel oimel libar kasher lehat lehem basar taiva. The Torah is coming to tell you when you reach Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to go and eat basar taiva. Basar taiva means basar chulin that you desire to eat. When they were in the midbar, they were not allowed to eat basar. So what happens if a person wants to go and eat flesh? He would go and bring a carbon in the Mishkan. He'd go and bring his carbon shlamim. He'd go and bring a carbon toida. If he wanted to go and eat, he'd bring a carb. But if you wanted to go and eat stam basar chulin, that was prohibited. Now, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, hutalem basar taiva. The reason why it was hutalem is because there was only one Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. There were people that lived in Haifa and they lived in Beersheba. If they wanted to go and eat basar, go and tell them, sorry, if you want to eat basar, you have to go and bring a carb in Yerushalayim. And if I go and bring a carb in Yerushalayim, I can't go and bring the basar back to Haifa or to Be'er Sheva, because then it will be possible b'yoytze. So every time I want to eat a piece of meat, I have to go, I come to Furach, to Yerushalayim, eat and then go home again. Come on. That's not practical. So therefore the Torah says, Ki'ach v'shem l'kechaz gavulcha k'shadibolach. You're no longer living in this small camp in the Midbar. You're now in Eretz Yisrael, where Ki'arach v'shem, you have 12 Shvatim, 12 Chalakim all over Eretz Yisrael, people living in the Tzof and in the Darim. So what happens? The amount of oichel basar, I want to eat a piece of meat, and I don't want to go and travel to Yerushalayim to eat that piece of meat. So you can go kisav nafshecha, b'cholav es nafshecha toichel basar. You can go and shecht anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. And that was at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and they're in Eretz Yisrael. The Achshav Shigola nowadays, though, in Rachman Litzlan, they were in Golus. I would think Yachal Yachzer Lisuna Rishon. I would think maybe it goes back to that original Isser. Just like in the Midbar, it was awesome to eat Basar Taiva.
We know we didn't meet again.
And we no longer can eat meat now until the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt. The Kachshanino. That's why the Mishnah tells us, no, you can continue shechting and eating today, no problem. Don't, no Beis Hamikdash, but you can continue eating Basar Taiva. Okay, but then you won't know the Gemara's kasha. You're going to be bothered by the kasha.
What did you say? That's tomorrow.
Me and Tisha.
I'll pick it up then.
Good.
I'm holding it.
Good. Very good. Master of Yosef. Rav Yosef says, I don't understand what you're talking about. First of all, if you're telling me what the Mishnah is coming to tell you is that so that it would be Nesar Lehem Basar Taiva, and now Baruch Hashem, even though we're in Golis, Rachman HaSan will not eat Basar Taiva, says Yimara, then the Ikr Chiddush is not that you can go and shecht, the Ikr is that you can go and eat. You can eat Basar Taiva. So what's the Mishnah going telling us? Lo'olim Shachtin, you can always shecht. But can I eat it? That's my question. Meikara, my time, it's a, what's the reason why originally when they were in the Minbar, they were not going to eat Basa time? We should have Meikara like Mishkan. It's practical. Everybody's around the Mishkan. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you don't have to go and Shech Stamazoi. You bring a carbon, you'll eat. Vupsoif, my time is true. What's the reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu was Matir in Eretz Yisrael? Then Merach and Mishkan, like we said. People live in Haifa. People live in Be'er Sheva. Vekoshke and Hash, if anything, we are so far removed from Eretz Yisrael. People living in America, people living in Australia, people living in Babel, wherever they happen to live. So it should be mutter to go and eat Basa Taiva. Especially today, unfortunately, there's no Beis HaMikdash. You cannot eat Basa unless you're eating Basa Taiva. So what's the story to go and say? I would have thought that we go into Golis, now we go back to the original times that you cannot eat Basa Taiva. Forget that we're in Golis is a much greater reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu should be Matir Basa Taiva, because it's really Ki Yirchak Mimcha HaMokar Ki Yarcha B'Shem Es Kavulcha, you're far, far away. Says Yimara, you got a good point, that Elmer Rav Yosef, therefore Rav Yosef who asked these kashas, has a brand new pshat, and he says Rabbi Kivihi. Now, for those of you that thought that Rabbi Shmuel was a great Sechidish, that there you couldn't eat Basa Taiva in the Midbar, we can have even a greater Chiddush with Rabbi Kiva. What's with Rabbi Kiva? The Sanya. You're far away from the base of English, you can go and shecht Baka Mitzayim. So Rabbi Kiva Oimer Leibar Kosov a lesser lehem Basar Nechira. What the Torah is telling you is that you're not allowed to go and eat Basar Nechira. Basar Nechira means Basar as a result of killing the animal as opposed to going and shechting the animal. The literal Taich of Nechira Rashi brings later on down, if you look about 10 lines before the wide lines, Rashi says, Vanoicher, says Rashi, Loshen Nechira, Shekoira li Orka, Menechirel, the Adachosa. Nechira, I believe, are the nostrils. You go and cut the animals instead of cutting the Besa Tavar perpendicular to the animal, you go and cut it parallel to the animal, starting from the nose straight down until the chaza, until the chest of the animal. Anyway, the point is, you didn't do a shechita, you killed it. So Timar is a Rebbe Kiva. The whole purpose of this pasuk Yircha Mimcha is lesser behen Basa Nechira. Shibat Chida, when they were in the Midbar, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah and Har Sinai, and they have the Mishkan. There, can you imagine? According to Rabbi Kiva, they were allowed to eat non-geshachten meat the entire time of the Midbar for 40 years. You too. We're in the middle of this year.
I'm sorry.
No problem. In the beginning, they were mat basa nechira. In other words, when they're in the Midbar the entire time, they were allowed to go and eat basa nechira. Once they come into Eretz Yisrael, Naslam basa nechira, you can no longer eat basa nechira. It has to be geshachten. You got to go and bring kabbalas. You have to go. Neslan was a nechir. However, and now they went into galus. I would think now that there's no longer a base of Mikdash. Maybe we can go back to the original heter of eating basa nechira. So that's what. Now that's very good. Now it's meduyik in the Mishnah. We oilam shachten that forever and ever. We always have to go and from now on and eat basa shchuta. Not basar nechira. I would have thought that since the Beis Hamikdash is no longer, maybe we can go back to the old standards that they had in the times of the Midbar, that you didn't have to go and shecht. Kamash Malon, you always got to go and shecht. Mitchum, tomorrow we're going to learn more about basar taiva and basar nechira. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael Zagevich.